Dzinski on Hector's left. Soft coverage. Oh, they draw someone offsides. That could be our own guy, though. Let's see. No, they got.
It's like number 72 offsides from the Raccoons.
They drew the Raccoons. Good. So we'll take the 5 yards. Coach Wolt's upset. I think he was hoping to get the playoff. But the extra 5 yards can hurt and the down over.
35-0. He's got a lot to be upset about.
Yeah. Yep, more than just one play. They haven't moved the ball yet, though, so I'm kind of curious what's going on here.
Yeah. Zebras are having a little huddle themselves.
We've seen some real peculiar officiating so far this season, Johnny.
Yeah, that first game was kind of an odd duck.
The Milwaukee Lutheran, yeah. It's against South. We were misinformed initially, so now that ball's going to go back. Third and 12 for the Blackshirts, so Blackshirt troubles continue, and now you understand why Wilson's upset. So, again, trips right. Dzinski on Hector's left. Looks like, nope, they're going to back off. Soft pressure. The snap. Hector looks to his right. He's got a guy. No, he doesn't. I don't even know who the intended receiver was there, Johnny.
Well,
I think Flowers is turning in. Hector threw out to the outside.
Yeah. Flowers and
Hector covered, too. So
we're not on the same page.
And a lot of receivers have been, yeah, it's a miscommunication. So Aiden Irvin back out again. Like his counterpart, Taylor Jackson, getting a lot of activity here, working on his punting duties, and get him a nice snap here. 129. Caden Oppold back again, the junior, for Ocon to receive. Nice snap this time. Good pressure, though. Decent little punt. And it's going to take a black shirt bounce, and they're going to let it go. It's going to roll all the way back to, like, Ocon's 32, so big kick. That's going to add up some yardage there. 50-plus yard punt, so props to Aiden Irvin. There was some good pressure by Ocon. I thought they were going to have a block there.
Yeah, that was very close.
Good composure by Irvin getting that off. So 117 remaining in the half. Ocon leading 35-0. And let's see what they do. They could go into the victory formation. But I think early in the season they probably want to get some more touches for more players. I do see some different numbers in there, including a different, the backup quarterback, Drew Neverman, in duties, and a new tailback. I don't got his number, Johnny. But it's 1st and 10 here. He's going to go up the middle to his tailback. He's got some good yards, good speed on the outside. Boy, he's going to press it. And he's finally brought down. All the way to the 42.
Of course, out by number 22.
He doesn't get tackled there, Don. He goes all the way.
He sure does.
There's a lot of fatigue going on out here. These guys are
getting
tired.
Who made that tackle for the Blackshirts? I missed that. But touchdown saving tackle for sure. So let's see if we can get the number of that tailback. I want to say 26, but I don't see. 20 maybe? 25, Alex Serafin. Twins right, single receiver left, pistol formation. And it's Serafin again up the middle, going to the left. Lots of room on the left as he gets, this looks like another Raccoon first down.
Serafin, the ball carrier for O'Connor.
It's going to be marked out of bounds at the Blackshirt 35-yard line. So they're going to move the chains again. Two carries, two first downs. Is Alex Serafin, the sophomore, mind you. Drew Neverman loves his job here coming off the bench. Just handing off to reliable number 25. And that's got to be very encouraging for the Raccoons' future. Trips right, single receiver left, pistol for Neverman and Serafin. And he's going to roll out right. He's going to take it himself. Good. Oh, great block by Serafin. But a good tackle. Logan Dable comes all the way from the line to bring down Neverman. But that's a 9-yard gain, so respectable run, great blocking. And Serafin proves he can throw his body around as well as Ralstad. Beautiful tackle on that. It's like either a linebacker or a lineman he took out on that.
That was
a key
collision
block
there.
46 seconds and counting. And you wonder if the Raccoons are going to, they're taking their time here, so maybe they'll just tuck it in for the half, leading 35-0 against our beloved Blackshirts, our beloved and beleaguered Blackshirts here. Clock continues to wind, 30 and counting. Twins right both sides, pistol formation for Neverman. Serafin behind him. the snap. And Neverman's going to keep it again. And this time he's brought down behind the line. A swarm of black shirts that include Ramon Jackson, his first tackle of the night.
Benjamin Jimenez on the tackle.
And Benjamin Jimenez, the 220-pound Jackson.
I think they're wrapping it up.
And that'll end the first half. Mercifully for the black shirts, trailing 35-0. And we're going to take a break here, too, on the Black Shirt Football Radio Network, WAUK Radio, brought to you by Mia's. And Anya, take it away and do station identification if we haven't done it already.
About this deficit is there's be a lot to talk about at halftime.
Red Cone fans, please direct your attention to midfield for your halftime entertainment. Here on Cottonwood High School varsity dance team.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics.
What?
Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to Oconomowoc, an away game with the Waukesha Black Shirts football. Here are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Like Donnie and Marie. Thank you, Anya. Welcome back to Rux Stadium, where Raccoon Nation is certainly enjoying this game, leading our Black Shirts 35-0. And a lot of credit to Raccoons on both sides of the ball. Their starting quarterback, Andrew Myrick, who I think is probably done for the night, did a great job distributing the ball. A lot of help from his tailback, Alexander Ralstad, who was a hurt wagon. I mean, he was knocking people over, carrying bodies with him. I think between the two of them, I think they have two touchdowns. Ralstad's thrown for two more touchdowns, I believe. And certainly a lot of great takeaways, but again, some self-destruction from the black shirts, especially in offense, have certainly helped matters, or made things easier for the Raccoons. That's for sure. And a couple points I had, is I think that you look at some of the running backs we faced, including Alex Ralstad, and even the backup, this Alex Serafin, is only a sophomore. These guys carry a lot of weight, and they move bodies, and they run hard, and we had CJ last year. He didn't really get the ball as much because he was playing line and defense. But we need a power back. We really the gentleman we have, Isaiah Dunlop has gained more weight, but now with him out, that's a lot. They're not able to, I think, move bodies the way that the Raccoon guys are. And so something to think about in your recruiting and development. And I would imagine Ben Jimenez will probably get the nod again here in the second half, as he did last week. And, Ben's a guy that they'd like to do a lot of running plays with him because he can use his body. He's a bigger frame than Hector. And I think, too, some other adjustments. I don't know why they have Evan Stout playing corner. I know he's my son. I love him. But his strength is at safety. And I know last week they had Ellsworth had some 6'6 receivers, so the rationale was to have a taller cornerback guarding them, but I don't think these guys are that tall for Ocon, and I think we're better off having our usual corners that have a lot more speed and quickness in the form of Tyler and especially Chris Flowers guarding these receivers and having Stout in the safety position. So I really don't understand that. A couple big plays were pulled off there. And, you know, you leverage your assets where they're going to do the most good for you. And so I think those are some things they need to think about. And they did have some good executions. A lot of miscommunication there. More than one receiver didn't know the ball was coming to them. And so that needs to be cleaned up. And, you know, at this level, that cannot happen, and especially in the Classic 8. And even if, you know, again, we're going into Parkland and everyone thinks it's going to be a cakewalk, but it's a very competitive conference. And so a lot of these mental mistakes you see, you know, that can't happen in the Parkland either. I know there is an intimidation factor with the Classic 8. These squads are three or four deep in terms of the talent that they have in every position. A lot of Power 5 players on the line and in skilled positions for these clubs. And so I get all of that. But it's like you said, you play within yourself and you control what you can. So, and I think with the second half, we're probably going to see a lot of backups for Ocon. They're going to be playing hard. But, you know, I think it's time to maybe take some chances and maybe just execute. I'd like to see a quarterback go under center for a change. I know that's not part of the usual recipe, but. And really, too, and just, yeah, that Oconomowoc defense is living in our backfield.
Yes, they are.
So, you know, maybe we beef up the line. You know, maybe we do a two tight end formation. And
well, here's a couple of things to think about, Don, okay? So there's just, and you've addressed it really, quite frankly, is there's too many mistakes coming from our side of the equation here. And, you know, there's just no control on that front line. They're getting manhandled. Now, you know, Oconomowoc's got a bigger team, and you're going to see that. And how do you counter that? With speed and misdirection. So it's a hard formula to try to break in, you know, to get some positive results. So, you know, when we kind of make a comment about failure to communicate, there's been enough things that could have turned out really positive,
right,
if they would have communicated a little better.
Sure.
Instead of having a receiver going left, he should have went right, or the quarterback, vice versa.
You know,
his timing plays. So
all things being equal, I think the defense has played well, but they're getting battered, you know, from being out in the field so much.
Right.
I mean, we had an interception that really, at the time, I think it was like 21-0, and it could have been a game changer for us. Mm-hmm. Could have, restored some confidence. And
a lot of guys on the black shirt side are playing both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
It's just the dynamic, the formula is just, it's not equal, sir. It isn't.
It's very true. Yeah. And I think as we, the hope is now that we're in the Parkland Conference, the recruiting will go up, and the numbers have gone up for the freshmen and the younger teams. And the freshman team played Oconomowoc really tight yesterday. It was a heartbreaking 14-13 loss. And they were actually in position to win that game. And again, just some self-destruction, a couple drop passes there at the end, and a third down sack.
Yeah.
And that probably could have been a running play, or should have been a running play. And but, you know, you lose a game 14-13, you know, that's a tough loss, but you can live with it. You know that you were competing. Yeah. You know you were on a level with these guys. And so there's a lot of, you know, bright things, you know, looking to the future.
I got to ask you a question. Do you think this hurry-up offense, would it benefit the black shirts, in your opinion, if they slowed down, went into a huddle, talked about it a little bit, and say, here's a play we're calling. This guy's, you know, the hot receiver, or this is my audible here.
You mentioned the hurry-up offense, and it really hasn't been a hurry-up offense with these formations. And I think it's like, let's have the hurry-up offense, but let's simplify it. Let's have, you know, like, doesn't need to be a cadence. Do a quick snap, maybe a one or two count, but just line up. And but I think for the hurry-up offense to work, though, Johnny, it's like we need some positive yardage. You know, first down, you know, even if it's just a 2 or 3 yard gain, like, that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Line everybody up again, and and make it happen, you know. And it's just, I think there's just, there's, I think we take too long to get in position, and then we may, there may be a variation. We may call somebody in motion, and I say let's just skip that and stick with the basic stuff, because you can throw long off of that, off of a hurry up. But it really, really hasn't been an opportunity for the hurry up to work tonight, Johnny, because we're going backwards.
Yeah. But
and really we're not. I get that Ocon's line is controlling the trenches on defense and, you know, both sides of the ball, to be quite frank. But I think you try a full, you know, again, I don't know if they practice quarterback under center, but, you know, try a fullback dive. Try, you know, keep those guys honest.
Yeah.
Run some play action off that. I was really I was very excited to see Ellsworth playing with a power eye, and everyone thinks that that's antiquated, and I think a lot of high schools have gone away from it because they want to, they think that minimizes injuries. You know, I think, though, it's part of the game. I think you got to keep your defense honest, and you got to run as well. Just like I said, to win, you still got to run and stop the run. And
right.
Even though Ocon's got the shotgun pistol formation at quarterback, they're running a lot of plays off of that. I'd say half of their plays have been runs tonight, more than half.
When they
do pass it, they've had some good success.
Play the power eye last year.
Muskego's got a very unique, it's like
they're under,
it's like the, it's like the wing tee from like the days when they wore leather helmets. But they run, the way that they run it, there is so much sleight of hand and deception. You missed it last year, Johnny, but make no apologies. You're going to spend half the game watching the wrong guy because the ball went to somebody else. And when Muskego's had great college-caliber quarterbacks, they can still pass off of that offense. They'll have no split receivers. They'll have two guys in tight flank positions and then – couple runners, and either balls under center or shotgun. But it's if you love that Tom Rosborn old sleight of hand like they did in Nebraska, you'd really appreciate Muskego football. And they've been very successful with that offense. There's been at least two state titles. Muskego leads Waukesha West 14-3 at the half. I missed the Waukesha North McGonagall score, but I know at the last count it was 21-10. So let me see here. Hey, Rob, did you catch the Waukesha North score against McGonagall?
No,
I didn't. Okay. Pay attention next time.
Sorry.
Rob Giese, Justin's dad. It's not a good night unless you can give old Rob a hard time.
Right.
So, but... yeah, here the Raccoons coming out of the locker room. They have like an authentic locker room underneath the bleachers. That's a pretty cool setup, Johnny.
Yeah, it's a nice facility.
That's
here.
Like the Dallas Cowboys facility for right. High school football. And look how far back it goes. The paved runway. I'm surprised they don't have a video screen going through like the Cowboys do at AT&T Stadium. So they do have a Jumbotron, though, and they're in a dancing, an animated dancing raccoon on their scoreboard. So, can't shed too many tears for the Ocon athletic program, given all the nice bells and whistles and toys they have to play with here. Yeah, as well as some talented student athletes. Then Andrew Myrick, the starting quarterback, if you could guess, I don't think he could be much taller than 5'9 or 10. But he sees the field well, he runs well, has a decent arm.
Right.
And the one interception he threw was a very athletic play by Adriel Diaz. I mean, he came up and snatched that from almost out of nowhere. Because Myrick was looking downfield. He had a guy maybe 10 yards past Diaz. It wasn't even Diaz's guy, but he smelled it out and jumped for it beautifully. So I'm guessing Diaz was like in a strong safety position there. So... But I think before we start the second half, we're gonna pay some more bills here on the Black Shirt Football Radio Network, brought to you by Mia's. Anya, if you could take it away, we'd be most grateful to you.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Welcome back to an away game. The Waukesha Blackshirts are at Oconomowoc, and here are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Thanks, Anya. Yep, so it's the Waukesha South Blackshirts. Don't forget, three high schools in our big city. But, yes, we're at Ruck Stadium in Oconomowoc High. Blackshirts trailing the Raccoons 35-0. We got about five and a half minutes before the second half starts, which gives us time. Johnny Watermelon, contrary to most of us, Johnny and WAUK's Earl Ingram will not be working this Labor Day. Or they will be working, excuse me.
Oh, we will be working.
Will be working. Johnny, tell us about it.
Well, I'll tell you, Civic Media has done a fantastic job of putting together a kind of an impromptu deal. Earl Ingram is going to do a live broadcast down at the Ziedler Union Square on the corner of 4th and Michigan Avenue.
Labor Fest, right?
For Labor Fest, yeah. Nice. So Earl's involved in Labor Fest for many, many years. He has a great following. We're going to have a lot of leadership down there from organized labor stopping by and saying hi. If you're going to be partaking in that, please stop by the booth and say hi to Earl. And I'll be down there, too. We're going to hand out some T-shirts, have a little fun. And just so everyone knows, we're really leaning into all the great work that we think the unions do and provide good working wages and safety on the workplace and help out every way that they can. So we're going down there and we're going to give our best shot to supporting that Labor Fest party at 8 o'clock in the morning till 11, live with Earl Ingram. So there you go.
Thanks, Johnny. Yeah, the full Raccoon squad has come out. Appreciate you bringing that up. We have Labor Day off for a reason, and it's to honor America's great labor tradition. And the Labor Fest is a Milwaukee tradition that spans several years. And I know it means a lot to Earl. Earl was a member of a union when he worked in his 30 years, I believe, he worked for A.O. Smith back when we had great manufacturing jobs in Milwaukee. And also tomorrow on This Week in Waukesha, I am honored to have, thanks to Johnny, my guest Stephanie Bloomingdale, the president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. We did a pre-recorded show on Tuesday night, and so you can catch that tomorrow morning at 8, and I highly encourage you to check that out and see what's going on these days in organized labor. It's been called, this summer has been called the Summer of Strikes. About 320,000 workers from as many different companies and industries, you know, versus like, what was like 110 in 2021, and you know, a lot going on with the cost of everything going up, it's, you know, time to take a closer look at how we can give our workers a bigger bite of the apple. And so I encourage you to check out that show with Stephanie. And speaking of hard work, our black shirts will be coming back out in the field shortly to prepare for the second half. And also a shout out to all the black shirt mom and dads here and families that support our black shirts and have, you know, throughout the years. And you know, in spite of all the tough seasons, we're really proud to be a part of this group of people. Great families, great kids, wonderful kids. And, you know, we had some bright moments. This senior class, when they were in eighth grade, they were the first black shirt football program in probably close to 20 years to win a division title and go to the playoffs. And, you know, unfortunately, COVID and a lot of other factors, you know, being in the class of eight kind of put a damper on that. And, you know, Johnny, I wish I had a time machine to show you some of the talent we had on the eighth grade team, and I would say there might be, you know, 10, maybe 16 kids missing from that starting lineup that have gone in other directions. Some have relocated, some have chosen not to continue in football, and very unfortunate to see given the talent that team had put together that year. And so, but credit goes to a lot of these seniors that have stuck it out throughout that time. Tyler Williams, Ben Jimenez, Hector Carranza, Evan Stout, Vinny Mahalos, Isaiah Dunlop, David Laux, Logan Tank Dable, so many. Oh, and of course, Justin Sweetie Geezy, who I know Justin's primary sport is wrestling, and that's what he's thinking of. I know also Justin's committing to go to the Marines, but I believe Justin has the talent that he could be playing football on Saturdays next year and the next four seasons. But just great kid, tremendous athlete. It was great seeing the Justin and all these other kids grow, not only physically but spiritually and mentally. And so it's, you know, the fact that they're out here playing is a tribute to them. There were a lot of question marks after having to forfeit the last two games last year if they would even field the team this year, and they have. They've come out. They won their opening game against Milwaukee Lutheran and you know, did it in winning fashion. And somehow they must have done something bad in their youth because Ellsworth was the other non-conference team, and that was a tough one. That was, you know, even though we played them tough in the first quarter and a half, ended up losing 48-6. And again, Johnny, we talked about that a lot. As good as Ellsworth was, there was a lot of self-destruction from our black shirts, much like we're seeing tonight. And you know, I think the key is with the second half, just go out there and have fun, and again, play within yourself and control what you can, and you know, seize some opportunities and execute. So we'll see how our guys do here. And more programming to talk about, too. Again, a week from tomorrow, Saturday, September 9th, under the lights, 6 p.m. Coverage starts at 5:30. Me, Johnny, and Anya will be back with our inaugural college football broadcast, a WAUK historic moment as we give you the winning ways of Carroll University football. The Pios open their season against non-conference opponents, Wisconsin Lutheran, for the second annual Quick Trip Glazer Bowl. So we're really excited to be. You can catch all the Pio action for football, home and away games. And after two winning seasons, their first two back-to-back winning seasons since the 90s, the Coach Buda and his Pios are looking to move the needle and maybe get a couple more wins, maybe make the playoffs. They came one game short last year, and it's just such a great culture. It's been fun to watch the practices and talk to the coaches and some of the players and really, really be a part of it. I had the honor of meeting tailback Nick Legnioli's parents. Nick's from Richmond, Illinois, right in the border there, so it feels like a Wisconsin town. And his mom and dad have informed me that we can call him Legs, so that'll make our job easier when we're calling the game there, Johnny. So I really can't wait to be there up in the booth. It's going to be a lot of fun. And really proud to be part of that program. And we'll also be broadcasting Carroll men's and women's home games. And men's are moving in the right direction with new coach Taylor Jansen. And the women's program is doing really well. Very exciting to watch the Pioneers women's team. So I'm really looking forward to a great year and a great future as community partners with Carroll University, Wisconsin's oldest university. The birthplace of the forward pass. And, Johnny, if you remember, we met with athletic director Mike Shulis about a week ago now. He had told us where that field was, where the actual game was played.
Yeah, yeah.
When visiting Washington University through the first forward pass against Carroll. And I understand they had to because of the toughness of that Carroll defense. And I think you and I should take a trip over there and have some pictures taken. Maybe put on old football duds and have some fun with that.
Get the leather helmets.
It's on College Avenue. It's like down the road from Hartle Field. And it's near like Delzer, but the field looks like it was once a football field. So yeah. I definitely want to check that out and make some history of our own there.
I think that'd be
we do that.
A fun piece of history to absorb there, Don.
It sure will. It sure will. And then, and then September 9th, I told you my guest tomorrow is Stephanie Bloomingdale, AFL-CIO. But September 9th, Dan Dukniak returns, the Waukesha Water Utility, and with Lake Michigan Water just days away from coming through our taps. Dan's going to tell us what we need to do as residents to prepare, and what businesses and entrepreneurs should be thinking about in terms of how this new water can provide some economic development opportunities, especially in the area of aquaculture and responsible seafood. And I really look forward to having that discussion. And we're still working on Mayor Sean Riley joining us. Sean loves Waukesha history as a native, loves to celebrate it. Especially as we come on the anniversary of the passing of the 19th Amendment, led by our very own Theodora Yeomans, a Carroll University grad and head of the women's suffrage movement. But more on that as we start the second half. Christopher Lemus gets his first action of the game, kicking off for the Blackshirts. Two raccoons back to receive. I'm trying to get some numbers here, Johnny. Can't really see them. I think I see a 25. I see Alex Serafine back as one of them. And I think the other one's Cole Schweffel. So here we are, ready to start the second half. And here's the kick by Lemus.
It's a nice kick.
And it's fielded at the 10. He's got a seam. And Schweffel finally brought down at the about the 39-yard line. So nice return there. Justin Giese had the initial contact there to bring Schweffel down. So here comes the black shirts. There's a black shirt sitting down. Looks like Gabe Carranza, injured player. Looks like a cramp as Kalen Weber comes out. Gabe's sitting back. He's more like in discomfort than he is pain, so I'm guessing it's a cramp. So, yep, he's going to limp off the field on his own accord, number 17. The Irishman will have to sit out a few plays before he starts painting houses again for the black shirts. Gabe Carranza.
Paint the house.
We see his mom, Allie, and dad, Martine. So here come the black shirts, and the quarterback is still Drew Neverman, the second stringer, and the dangerous Alex Serafine back there with him in a pistol formation. It's Serafine up the middle, and he breaks a tackle, but body slammed down there. After about a 5-yard gain, that looked like Justin Giese.
That was Justin.
Putting the finishing touches. Another great play by Giese. His second tackle in two plays.
Kind of like an all-star wrestling move there.
That sure was. So Joel Torres coming in for the black shirts. Going to give Ben Jimenez a blow here on second and five. Second and four. 6-yard gain there by Serafine. So twin packages both sides in the receiving core. Pistol formation with Serafine behind Neverman. Can't find the Neverman. High snap. Hand off to Serafine. He's going to his right now. Good blocking. He goes a good 5 yards before someone gets him down, and they're going to move the chains. Ball goes all the way to about, what are they marking this? The black shirt 47-yard line. So about a 6-yard gain, 6-7-yard gain there by Serafine. Great blocking there, Johnny, on the right.
There was.
There really was no one from the black shirt line there to put any pressure on Serafine. Serafine, I believe that is. So first and 10, 10:09 and counting. And I believe with the deficit, it may very well be a running clock. Twins right and left. Pistol formation. High snap. Neverman fakes to Serafine. He's going to keep it. He's going to his right. He's got some room. Finally brought down Chris Flowers. And that's going to be close to a first down. Yep, they're going to move the chains. So good little fake there. Everyone was looking at Serafine. And it, Serafine to the left gets the fake, and Neverman goes to the right. Can't find a Neverman.
Flowers doesn't.
Ooh, okay, so here we go. Trips left. Single receiver right. Pistol formation for Neverman and Serafine. Another high snap. Gets it to Serafine on the left. He's going to try the left. Williams doing his good job with the outside containment. Can't tackle him, but finally Giese and company wrap him up for a short gain. Maybe no gain. Nah, about a half yard maybe. There is a flag. And a black shirt shaken up. Stretching the legs. He's back up. Okay. That's Chris Flowers there. So a holding call. I think this is the first penalty against the Raccoon offense. So it's another thing we won't miss with the Classic H, Johnny. Is the favorable officiating all our opponents seem to have.
Yeah.
And it's from the spot of the ball, so it's going to take him back all the way to 46. So, you know, leading 35-0, the black shirts or the Raccoons like a little challenge, you know. So this is the ball is now at the 46 of the black shirt, so it's going to be first and about 20, 21. Twin packages, pistol formation. High snap again. And it's another keeper for Neverman. Great open field tackle, though, by Flowers. That's going to be about an 8-yard gain, so that's going to make it second and 12. I was fouling Serafine there, Johnny. I think you were, too.
I think a lot of people got fooled on that one.
So the only one that stayed home was Chris Flowers, thankfully, and holding him to an 8-yard gain, which makes it second and 12. 7:50 and counting in the third quarter. Raccoons leading the Blackshirts 35-0. Trips left. Single receiver right. Pistol formation. Never man your quarterback. The backup. Replacing Andrew Myrick, who had a great first half. Quick pass to number 85. And he's going to be forced out of bounds. Just past the original line of scrimmage. So about a 3-yard gain. And that was Cole Mann, the junior. Little scat cat receiver. And, yeah, Johnny, you know, you like the quick pass. And I got a little more yardage than that. They're going to call it, I'm guessing it's 3rd and 7 or 8. So much more manageable than where they were, 1st and 21. Clock continues to run, 7:05 and counting here in the third quarter. Trips right, single receiver left, ball in the left hash. Pistol formation for Neverman. He moves Seraphine down to the line. So now you have quad receivers right.
Wiltz is trying to get a
timeout or a flag or something. Quick pass. He's got a guy open.
Neverman's pass complete.
It's complete to, I didn't get the number on that. 85. That was Mann again out there in the flat. So they're going to move the chains after a big opportunity to stop them.
Pass complete to Cole Manning. 1st and 10, O'Connor.
Cole Mann, his second reception of the day. That one was good for about 12 yards. So twin packages both sides, pistol formation. Neverman gets a snap. Hands it off to Seraphine going left. Not much room to go. Blackshirts do a good job stringing out, but again, Seraphine pushes his way forward. That might be a 4-yard gain, Johnny.
Yeah, he got about 4 or 5.
The ball carrier.
So again, he just bowled his way into that. Adriel Diaz and Tyler Williams in on that tackle. 5:49 and counting in the third quarter. 2nd and 6 for the Raccoons, looking to add to a 35-0 lead. Trips right. Twins left, empty backfield for Neverman. The big question is, where's Seraphine? Will he come around for a reverse? No, Seraphine in motion to the left. He's going to get the snap. He goes right. Blackshirts are there. And a big tackle near the line.
Got hit pretty solid.
Who was that?
There,
Chris Flowers again. Puts a hard hit. Seraphine a little shaken up there, but he's a tough kid. He'll be back. So Seraphine actually took the snap as he came in motion from the left flank, just as I called it, Johnny.
He did. And then he got tatered by Flowers.
He sure did. I think he might have got a couple of yards there. They're calling it a 3rd and 3. So, yeah, no, he got probably about 3 yards on that. So still positive yardage. 4:49 and counting. Third quarter. Raccoons leading the Blackshirts 35-0. Twin packages both sides. Pistol formation. The snap. Going to go to Seraphine up the gut, and he's got a big hole there. Flag is down, though, so they may be moving it back. That's right in the area of holding. So,
yep.
Flag is spotted at the 15, so I believe that's the spot of the foul, and I think they're going to push him back 10 from there. So, big break for the Blackshirts. Clock continues to run here with the slaughter roll. 4:18 and counting in the third quarter. So two penalties for the Raccoons here.
So what is the slaughter rule, Don?
I think it's 35 points. I always ask, we'll have to ask Jared Dable on that one, Johnny. So, twin packages both sides, pistol formation for the Raccoons. Seraphine behind Neverman. Snap. Up, confusion on the handoff, and Neverman's going to run it. Oh, he gets knocked out of bounds beautifully. Little quarterback keeper. And now it's Flowers again. And he gets a couple. So let's make it 4th and 8 here. Really should be. I think it's 3rd and 8. 3rd and 7. 3:18 and counting. Raccoons taking their time in the huddle here. A luxury they have with a 35-0 lead. 3:07 and counting. So trips right on the short side. Single receiver left. Pistol formation. I think they're going deep to the end zone here at the left. Yep, they're looking left. It's a corner pattern. Number 88. Great defense there by Tyler Williams. It's kind of one of those plays where he was going to come back for it, and Williams stayed with him. Great discipline by Tyler Williams. And
he played that perfect, Don.
And so that's what I'm talking about there. That's a good adjustment there by the Blackshirt defense. 236 and counting, and we hear the jump around song. We're going to hear that tomorrow at Camp Randall as the Badgers open up the season against the real Berkeley of the Great Lakes and Midwest, the Bulls of University of Buffalo from the MAC, Mid-American Conference. And Johnny, you got to know where my heart is on that one. My oldest brother and a lot of high school friends went to that fine university. So Blackshirts take over on downs. Twins left, single receiver right. It's a handoff to the flank. Good little run. That could be Williams. Some positive yardage there. Maybe about, let me see.
Williams, the ball carrier.
About two or three up and a player down. That could be Williams. No, it's number 54. That looks like Logan Dable. No, Logan Pulchert for the Blackshirts is shaken up. He went out last week. So you don't like to see that.
No. Getting a little chippy down there too. There's a couple of little
with the senior. Was there some?
Yeah, it was a little pushing there at the end.
Well, good news is Pulchert gets up. He is going to need help coming off the field, though, and it looks like that knee again that troubled him, that it took him out last season and was a reason he had to come out against Ellsworth last week. I believe that was in the first half, but Pulcher gets a big hand, a hardworking kid, very reliable lineman. You know, he's actually, I believe it was against Oconomowoc last year when he had the season-ending injury. So Williams is gained on the reverse. From the flank was about a three, what are they calling that? A two-yard gain. They're calling it second and eight. 149 and counting. Third quarter.
From their own 21-yard line. Second and eight for Waukesha South.
Second and eight. We're still trying to check out the formation here. 133 and counting. Ball in the right hash. Stout all alone on the left, the wide side. Twins right on the short. Nope, Williams is going to move over to the left with Stout. And I believe that's Jimenez is the quarterback there. 111 and counting. Comes a snap. Jimenez looks to the left. He's got a guy. A high pass.
Oh,
out of the hands of Evan Stout. A high pass from Jimenez, but I think Stout should have brought that down. He had two hands on it. Luckily, it wasn't intercepted. There was good coverage there by the Ocon defense for sure.
But yeah, there was two defenders right
ben
there.
Ben puts a good zip on that ball.
So
it's third and 12. Looked no, third and eight, sorry. Third and eight is the call. I don't know where third and 12 came from. So that's too bad. That would have been a nice catch there by Stout. And maybe close to a first down there. So same thing. Twins left, single receiver right. Dunzinski on Jimenez is right. 26 seconds left in the quarter. Tight end goes, oh, high pass. Jimenez is going to fall on it.
I think Oconomowoc might have got that.
Oconomowoc might have got it. I think they got it. The Raccoons recover. So tough break. A high snap for Jimenez. So
right on the 4 or 5 yard line there.
Yeah, not a good place to lose the ball. So tough break. I didn't see who got
the That'll
end the third quarter with the Blackshirts trailing the Raccoons 35-0. And we'll take a quick one-minute break here on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network, brought to you by Mia's. Take it away, Anya.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American-Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American-Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Waukesha South Blackshirts Football with your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Thanks, Anya. Welcome back to Ruck Stadium here at Oconomowoc High School, where the Raccoons lead our Blackshirts 35-0, and after a high snap and fumble recovery, It's first and goal for the Raccoons at the, looks like the 6 or 7 yard line of the black shirts. Twins right, Twins both sides. It's going up to Serafine up the middle, and he's going to waltz right into the end zone without much contest there. So,
well,
got to give that Serafine credit. He runs tough, and only a sophomore. They got a lot to look forward to with him in the Raccoons' future, as well as that backup quarterback, Drew Neverman. Neverman will hold on the extra point by Jackson Taylor. 11:30 and counting in the fourth quarter. And the kick is good, 42-0.
It is good.
11:23 left in the game as the clock continues to count. So, another tough night for our black shirts, Johnny. And the good news is that compared to last season, the injuries have been minimized. Hopefully Logan Pulcher will return for next week when the Blackshirts host McGuanago at home. So, and again, lots to look forward to in the Blackshirt football future as they go into the Parkland. And the youth program is being developed nicely. The number situation. Go ahead, Johnny. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
You know, that conference change.
Because, you know, when I was here last time at Oconomowoc, we had a freshman playing line. And that was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago because of how low the numbers were for varsity back then. It was Coach A.J. Rabel's last year. And, you know, there were some talented players on that team, but just not enough depth. And so now they'll be in a level playing field, more, you know, equitable conference. So Jackson Taylor kicking it off. It's a short punt. It's fielded at about the 10 by Flowers. Makes a good cut. And he's going to get all the way just short of the 30, about the 28-yard line. So decent return.
Yeah,
about
a
17-yard return.
Return.
And a little slow getting up there, Flowers. Getting some help up. He's limping off.
And a gimp and a little
bit. A tough kid. So he may sit out a play or two in this next drive. Looks like he's also favoring his right rib there. So he got a pretty good shot there in the return. So Ben Jimenez's second tour of duty as quarterback here in the second half. 10:45 remaining in the fourth quarter. And
looks like Caitlin Weber's got seen her fair share of action.
Adriel Diaz now in the game and flanker on the left. Single receiver right. Twins left. Timeout. Black shirts.
Timeout.
So a good timeout, yep. So there's a number 13 for the black shirts. I don't have him anywhere on the roster.
I think it's another one of those mystery guys.
I thought it was Hector initially. He looks like Hector, but Hector's number 12. But really excited to see Diaz in there, especially as we start the Classic 8. Diaz is a very dangerous receiver. I think had he stuck with football through high school, he would have been as good as any receiver in the Classic 8. And with some of the weapons we already had in the receiving corps, things could have been different for the Blackshirts. I'm not saying they would have won the conference, but they might have gotten, you know, a couple more wins in these past few seasons. There was a guy in the 8th grade team named Shamar Hippolyte. Amazing linebacker, used to return punts. Amazing speed for a kid his size.
Yeah.
And family moved back to Louisiana or Mississippi. But he also, in ninth grade, he wanted to stop playing football. Long pass, he's got a guy. Great little zip there. That looks like Carranza back in the game. Nice pass. That was Zayas DeWalt. Good looking play there. Ball all the way at the 41. That's a 14-yard gain.
Black shirts on the same page.
Great pass by Carranza. So Twins right, single receiver. Left. He's going deep. Oh! That was Giovanni Perea is who number 13 is. Member of the basketball team. He was on the team last year. Didn't come out at the beginning of the season and joined the team last week for the second game. 9:38 and counting. So single receiver left, Twins right. Benzinski on Hector's right. Snap. Hector looks. He's got a guy in the flat. That was Jimenez he was going for. And
well read by the defense.
It was. Good coverage there. A little wide. The good news factor is he threw it where the defense couldn't get to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you hate to celebrate one interception versus four the week before, but certainly that's a big improvement. But a couple of his passes have been like that. If you're going to miss, miss wide. 9 minutes and counting here. Twins right, single receiver left. Danzinski on Hector's right. Third down, he's going to go to. Actually, oh boy. Sorry, that was a different running back.
Oh.
He's tackled for a loss. Joel Torres, a 202-pound junior, 5'6". Really just couldn't get moving because that Oconomowoc defense was already back there. It was like he was looking at a team photo, Johnny.
Yeah.
8:30 and counting.
Well, that defense has got
fourth
such
and
a
long
big lead. They don't really
they're going
have to
for
protect
it.
Anything.
Yep.
They're just giving it up.
Single receiver right. Twins left. Backer out on the right. Torres on the right. Hector in huge trouble. He's going to get sacked for a loss. Down at the 28 where the series started, where the drive started. And, you know, that really didn't have a chance, Johnny. They knew he was going long and knew that was a seven-step drop and never really could get set. So,
yep.
Not the shirt tonight. As the clock continues to wind, 7:48 and counting. Blackshirt defense already on the field. Ocon's going to huddle here. 7:40. Again, they got the backups in, Johnny, and they're hungry to play. And so, you know, it's not really, you can't really accuse them of running up the score. You want to give these kids some touches. Surprised they don't have a third-string quarterback. It never man's back in along with Seraphine. 7:22 and counting. Twins right, single receiver left. It's Seraphine. He's going to go to his right. He's met at the line, brought down beautifully. Great tackle there. That was number 87. Aiden Lenz, the sophomore. 187-pound, 5'11", sophomore. Beautiful tackle there. Looked like Chris Flowers on that.
Is he a sophomore?
He sure is. The wise fool. Sayas DeWalt coming in. Another Blackshirt coming out, favoring his left arm there. Hope it's not too serious. Might have gotten caught in a helmet or a... Well, that's Adriel Diaz. Don't like to see that. Okay, we want to see Adriel. Twins right, single receiver left, pistol. Ball in the left hash. Neverman gets a snap. He's going to go up the middle. Different running back this time. Looks like
that's
a number 27. I have Patrick Rich. If I have my number correct. That's going to be enough for a first down. Big run up the middle there. So the Raccoons move the chains again with 6:18 and counting. Ball again on the left hash. Twin packages both sides. Pistol formation. No tight ends. Neverman gets a snap. He's going right up the middle to Seraphine. Big hole up the middle, and he's going to get probably a good about six or seven on that. So I think a lot of starters out for the Blackshirts in this last. So Ben Jimenez had the tackle there. 5:45 and counting. It's funny, Ben Jimenez was on the sideline, but they gave him credit for the tackle. Twin packages both sides, pistol formation. Neverman gets the snap. He's going to go up the middle again to Rich, and he's in there for a touchdown, but there is a flag down. So. And right around where the linemen were, so.
Probably a holding, don't you think?
Right. Yep, so right where the sand pounding's going on. So that'll be of the 10-yard variety as the refs walk it back. Clock winding, 5:01 and counting in the fourth quarter. A 42-0 drubbing at the hands of the Raccoons. And the Blackshirt offense really couldn't get it going tonight. Only one first down that I can count, Johnny. And only one time did we have the ball on their side of the field, and that was on an interception. Trips left, single receiver right, pistol formation, high snap. It's going to be handed off to Seraphine on the left, and a good tackle at the line there.
Seraphine, the ball carrier.
Not much room for him there.
He's just past the original line of scrimmage, so that'll set up what I believe is 3rd and 9 for the Raccoons. Ball at the 15-yard line. 3rd and 10, they're calling it, from the box up across the field. We got great accommodations here for visiting guests. Nice-sized bleachers and a whole press room all to ourselves. Coaches must be up on the roof, Johnny. I don't see them in their dedicated office, although it was like a sweatbox when we got here. Trips right, twins left, empty backfield. Seraphine in the first flank. I see him coming around. No, another guy. Yep. It's Seraphine on the reverse. He's coming left. Well covered, though, by the Blackshirts, but he still gets around the corner. But not much there. Maybe a 2 or 3 yard gain. So great job by the Blackshirt defense anticipating the play to Seraphine.
Blackshirts weren't fooled on that one at all.
They sure weren't. But credit to Seraphine for getting around that corner, though. He showed some good speed. And I'm trying to get who that big guy is out there. Number 3 for the Blackshirts, Benjamin Pizzala. In that corner position was one of the tacklers. Clock winding, 3:14 and counting here. And Raccoons, I think, will call a timeout here. And they're going to think about it. So again, Blackshirt Nation, you don't like to see these teams run up the score. But a couple reasons they do is, one, experience and exposure for their backups. They just announced McGuanago is beating Waukesha North 42-10. And a big shout out to my new friend Nick Pridgen, one of the new coaches there at Waukesha North. He had a great high school career at Tosa West and at Winona State. And I believe was even on some NFL watch lists there. Had a great career there. And we Blackshirts will be hosting McGuanago next. They're going to go for the field goal here on fourth down, and it's Jackson Taylor's first field goal attempt. It's going to be about 33 yards. Good snap, good hold. The kick is looks like it's good. Just crosses to the left of the right, upright. So let's call it 45-0 with 3 minutes and counting here in the fourth quarter here in the Blackshirt Sports Football Radio Network. We're going to stay here. And, again, Blackshirt Football sponsored by Mia's. And too bad we won't get there in time. It'll probably kitchen will be closed at 9 o'clock. So 3 more minutes, unless you can give Bo a call and see if they can rattle us off some carry out there, Johnny. But
yeah, I mean,
you'll be back in Pewaukee, though, before you get to that'd be a long jaunt for you. So, but for those of you checking out the game in the app, and if you're here at the game, if time allows and the kitchen's still open, head over to Steel Tank Brewery. Dave Barron and his crew do a great job. Especially for the fish fry. Great beers, too, by the way. Did I mention they have great beers? Yes.
Yeah, you said something about that.
And, you know, going back to Mia's, they make some really good drinks from scratch. Some Prohibition-era cocktails, all fresh ingredients.
You know what else I like about Mia's?
What's that?
Is you can sit at the bar and look at the traffic. It's just kind of a neat little cute bar.
That's right there on Clinton Street.
Yeah, they're right on Clinton. It's cool.
It is. And Taylor Jackson kicks it off, and I think that's Zayas DeWalt. He breaks one tackle, but brought down about the 25 after a little bit of a scrum there. The General, Zayas DeWalt. He earned the nickname The General because when he plays basketball, he reminds a lot of people of Syracuse legend Sherman Douglas, also known as The General. 2:32 and counting. This will probably be the last series for the Blackshirts. Carranza at the helm. Twins left. Actually, another running back comes in. Yep, they're short a player. So Gabe Lascano comes in. It's going to be Trips left now. Another receiver comes in. This is Adam Duraj, a new face. A junior, 6 feet, 196 pounds. Quick pass there. Oh, sniffed out right away. It's going to lose a couple. Great. David Laux, the senior. Good seeing David getting a touch, but he really didn't have time to move on that. Great response by the Raccoon defense, but great to see David Laux's name being called. As we know, his parents, Richard and Charlotte, are here tonight. Never missed a game, actually. So, Twins left. It's a hand up the middle. Hey, see you, Tom. See you, Judy. And that was a different running back there. I didn't get the...